This is one of the most beloved psalms in the Bible, and this is a psalm of protection, and there are four different soldiers in three different wars had their physical lives spared by a pocket New Testament in their shirt pocket over their heart. Two of them found, when they pulled their Bible out of their pocket, the last brown marking of the bullet that was stopped by the Bible was found on Psalm 91, verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says there, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And this psalm of protection starts with, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. This is going to go back to the two psalms that God used Moses to pen, Psalm 90 and Psalm 91. And Psalm 91 is going to take us back to the place where they're wandering in the wilderness, they've provoked God and chose not to go into the promised land. And so now Moses is leading them with a tabernacle through the wilderness for the next 40 years until that generation dies. For 40 years, they didn't need any shoes. God took care of them. For 40 years, they camped around the tabernacle, and I put a picture of the tabernacle on the back of the bulletin there. And the door is right now at the bottom, but if you hold it so that it's to the right, the tabernacle always faced the east, and then the tribes would camp around the tabernacle. Every time it moved, and by day there was a cloud that went up from the tabernacle and covered the whole camp. Why? Because over there it can get up to 140, 150, and I've even heard some of the soldiers say that come back from over there that it can get up to near almost 160 degrees. And so God would take a pillar of cloud by day and cover His children. And then at night, over in the desert, you can die of exposure very easily because the temperature drops and the clouds don't hold in the heat. And what would God do? A pillar of fire would happen by night. And what's fire do? It warms them by night. For 40 years, God did that. And so that secret place, what's He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High? If I just stop there just for a second, I'll come back to the secret place. But the Most High, David's favorite name as God used as he was addressed God, was always, He's my high tower. Here, He's the Most High. What's that mean? That means God's vantage point is higher than anybody else's. Do you understand? He's my high tower. He's the reason. He sees farther than I can see. This is my first time standing on the Lord's Supper table. I think it's great. Okay. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God uses Moses to pen here in reference to that tabernacle. That tabernacle, 75 feet by 150 feet, 7.5-foot curtain, and you went in by the door, and the first thing you came to there on that picture is the brazen altar where the animals were sacrificed. And in the end goal was to get where God is in the tabernacle. It was to get where God was. The presence of God was coming from the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. But you can't just get into God's presence. The first thing that you have to do is to get in God's presence is to come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The altar had to be seen first and had to be dealt with. Then you came to what? After you came to the altar, then what's next? The brazen laver. And the brazen laver represented Jesus, the water of the Word of God. And the priests would cleanse themselves and it was filled. It was a big basin filled with water. Once again, brass, a picture of judgment. And so you came to get where God is. To get into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the cherubims were over, where the pillar of cloud came from, where the pillar of fire by night came from. To get where God was, you have to first go through the brazen altar. That's the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins and our filth and how He was slain on a cross. Then you come to the brazen altar. the brazen laver, where you are washed. And no, that doesn't picture baptism. It pictures the washing of the Word of God. But I'm not where God is yet. Now it's into the holy place, and to the right is going to be the table of showbread. What's that? That's Jesus, the bread of life. What's the altar of incense? That pictures the prayers of the saints. That's Jesus who's always praying for me. And over here is the golden lampstand shedding light onto the bread. What's that a picture of? Jesus is the light of the world. He's the lampstand. But I'm still not where God is. To get where God is, He that dwelleth in the secret place is where God was. You see, Moses' home was right next to the tabernacle, and he knew what it was like to be in God's presence. He'd been in it for 40 days when he came off the mount, and it says his face shone, and nobody could even look at him because he'd been with God. He knew what it was like to be in the secret place where God was and enjoy God's presence. And now the tabernacle with the 12 tribes of Israel camped out around 3 million people. And now he knew what it was like to the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Where was that? After you went through the altar where Jesus was slain, a picture of our sacrifice, of His sacrifice for our sins. Then you went through the washing of the Word of God. Then you came into the holy place and you feast on the bread and the light and the fact that Jesus is praying for us. Then you can go into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, where God is, where God's presence. And He knew what it was like. He said, those that, and I love the verse, those, He that dwelleth in the secret place, where God is, not those who visit. You see, some of the Jews had this picture. Moses, you talk with God. We don't want to hear His voice. How do you not want to hear? I think that's one of the most amazing, saddest verses in the Bible. Where God's people, a few of God's people, actually said, we don't want to talk with God. It's that you say, does that happen today? Yeah, it does. I think you ought to bow your head and close your eyes when you pray in church, but there's some people that don't. Do you know why? Because they don't want to be alone with God. They don't want to shut out everything and it's just the Lord and I. So they do this in prayer. That doesn't mean they're bad or wicked. It's just they do this. They don't want to be alone with God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As I read this, Moses, I believe, is used of God to tell us if you will look at God's presence, you can enjoy the shadow. You see, a shadow, like this is a shadow on the table. There's nothing of the shadow. It reminds me that there's something that's real that's given the shadow. The shadow of His presence. The shadow reminds me that He's there. And in that presence, in that shadow, I'm secure, I'm protected, I'm safe. He goes on to say in the chapter here, there shall no evil befall thee. God can protect you if you make a priority of being in His presence. And you're not in His presence unless you want to be. Oh, I'm in God's presence all the time. Do you talk to Him all the time? Is it always? Have you ever, I remember when I got saved, I remember someone said, the Lord's with you all the time. I remember I was, in my marine room and I just belched. And then I said, excuse me, Lord. Someone said, I just think God ought to be that real to you. You understand? Excuse me, Lord. Well, if you'd say it to somebody else, why wouldn't you say it to God who never leaves you? Amen? He that dwelleth in the secret place, not he that visits, the secret place where God is, Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As I think of that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, I literally think, and I wrote it in my Bible, you know what? If you would enjoy God's presence and enjoy the presence of His shadow, I just think of, if you were in the desert, then you could, I almost titled the sermon this, You got it made in the shade. Isn't that awesome? If you're with God and He's watching over you, I'm not going to preach the whole sermon with sunglasses on. It's too distracting. But you do. If you're enjoying God's presence, did you know what? You got it made in the shade. Here's another statement we use. God's got you covered. God's got you covered if you're enjoying His presence. If you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, if your walk with God is important to you, you got it made in the shade. And God's got you covered. He'll protect you. He'll protect you. I started thinking, what shadow? And I started looking in the Bible, the shadow of the Lord, the shadow of the Almighty. Well, first I started thinking about, if I go back to when they're in the desert, the Bible plainly says that the rock that followed them was Christ. This is a big rock. It says every time they got thirsty, they could speak. You know, Moses would speak to the rock. Okay, this isn't a pebble. This isn't a boulder. This is a huge rock, because every time they would drink, this is enough water coming out for 3 million people to drink. And it says the rock followed them for 40 years. 40 years. It says the rock, and that rock that followed them, it says it in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, it says that rock was Christ. Stay with me just for a second. In Exodus, chapter 33, Moses said, if thy presence doesn't go with me, he said, then I don't want to take the children of Israel through the wilderness. He said the one thing that makes us different than all the nations of the world is your presence with us. And if I can't have your presence, then he said, I don't want to do this. And I started thinking, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, your walk with God is what makes you different. It's what makes you different. Our priorities are different. Why do we get up in the morning early? Well, it's just so we can go to work and to spend time with God. Our priorities are different. It makes us different than all the nations of the world. We don't live to party on Friday night. We're not living to do. We're living. Our existence. We found out when we got saved. Wow. He wants to be with me. He wants to spend time with me. What a God. He that dwelleth, Moses said, if thy presence does not go with me, he said, I don't want to go. He said, dear Lord, show me your glory. You know what God did? God said, Moses, I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you. You can't look at my face and live. But I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock. And I don't know if God split it right then. God can do anything He wanted. But the Bible plainly says, Moses, when I pass by, you hide in this cleft. Because I'm so holy, you can't look at me and live. I'll let you see my hindermost parts. And so God put him in the cleft of the rock, or the cleft, or the split, or that which gave way because pressure was applied. And Moses hid in that rock as God passed by. And God and Moses saw the glory of the Lord. He saw the glory of God. What is that rock? Well, first, the first thing I thought of was they got a rock that's following them for 40 years in Israel, through the desert. And that rock is Christ. And I can't help, we'll find out when we get to heaven, but I can't help but think God is talking to Moses in Exodus 33, and He says, Moses, you cannot handle my holiness. So I'm going to place you in the rock. Who's that rock? It's the Lord Jesus. And the only thing that saves me, that shadow from the heat of what? Oncoming judgment, the wages of sin is death. There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. God requireth that which is past. God judges sin. How can I stand before a holy God? God says, only when you're placed in the cleft. Only in the rock. In the rock, Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Augustus Toplady wrote that song. Because all of England was wrapped up in John Wesley's teaching, you got to come to the altar and cry through to get saved. You got to pray through until you feel saved. And a Baptist preacher, Augustus Toplady, said, you don't have to do anything except to get saved except trust the Lord Jesus. And he wrote the song, Rock of Ages. That's why it says, nothing in my hands I bring. What? Simply to thy cross I cling. I haven't got anything of my own merit. God, I come to you on the merit. I need the cleft of the rock. That is where I'm safe, in His shadow from the judgment of sin, in the shadow of the rock. What else does a rock do? I took the teenagers to you've never been spelunking? It's kind of neato. Once a year would do me. I don't live for it, but I thought it was... We went 300 feet under the ground. And I'd never been in a cave that was that solid. And we went in there and I opened up a... You know, we all had flashlights on. I took another flashlight with my Bible and I read. I said, now you know what David meant when he was fleeing from Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock. I said, everybody put your hands on the rocks. I said, can you move them? I said, do you feel secure? The Lord is my rock. He's that where I'm safe, I'm protected, and in the cleft of the rock is the shadow of the Almighty, the shadow of the rock. What else is a rock good for? A rock, that rock who's Christ, it protects me from Satan's arrows. No arrows going through a rock. No, and even if somebody catapults one towards me, I'm still safe if I'm in the rock. If I'm in the rock. I started thinking about the shadow of the rock. Let me see here. Jesus said, he that dwelleth in me, he said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. That's not talking about the Lord's Supper. It's not talking about communion. It's not talking about any of that. It's talking about when you put the words of God in you and then you dwell and you think in him, then you're dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty. He also said it in John 15, and we don't have time to go there this morning, but he's talking about the soul-winning, praying Christian. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What shadow? What shadow of the Almighty? The first shadow that I'm called to think of is the shadow of the rock. I'm in the cliff of the rock. I'm in the Jesus Christ that was split for me, and died for me, and rose again. I'm in His shadow. What's another shadow? Can you take your Bible and let's look at... We'll come back to Psalm 91. Go to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Watch this. What other shadow does it speak of in the Bible? The shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of protection. Watch this. I'm just going to read verse 1. Verse 3 is really what I want to show you, but watch this. I am the rose, Song of Solomon 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of wood, so my beloved among the sons, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under, watch this, His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. I believe this shadow of the tree, there's first of all the shadow of the rock. That's the shadow of when I got saved. Glory to God. I stand before you this morning, a sinner saved. A sinner saved. Now I enjoy the tree. The tree here, it says, I'm walking through the woods, and this tree here, wow, I'd like to sit under this. It reminds me of my husband. And she said, just like the trees, she said, I like to sit under the shadow of my beloved. She's talking about the Lord Jesus. She's talking about her shepherd boy. She's talking about the one that she got married to. And she said, I just love the shadow. And she said, His fruit is sweet to my taste. You know what that talks about? That's talking about the Christian that enjoys the presence of God. There's a special rest given to all of us that are saved in times of joy. To someone who's trusted Him as their Savior, the Bible says Jesus is precious. He's the best of the good, and He's the fairest of 10,000. enjoying the sweet influence of Christ is intended to give us rest. The Lord Jesus is a place to sit down in contentment. The joy of the Lord is supposed to be our strength. That's what the Bible says. We're supposed to enjoy the joy of the Lord.
Well, I'm saved. I'm just not happy about it.
That's not the way God intended you to live.
Well, okay, we'll go to church if we have to.
That's not the way the Lord intended you to live. You're supposed to enjoy the shadow of the tree. I enjoy the shadow of the rock. I was placed in Him when I got saved. Now I'm enjoying the shadow of the tree. I sit down and in delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Wow. God wants you to enjoy. We don't need the modern garbage of humanism and religion that has filled our jails beyond capacity and given us a divorce rate that is over 64% and broke us financially and is slowly killing us with political correctness. Hillary Clinton made a statement. Twice now she said it. In America, two things have to change. Core beliefs and religion. If the Christians will just lay the Bible down, we can move our agenda through. But the old-fashioned Bible-believing Christians are slowing us down. You know what? I don't want to be up to date. We don't want an updated Bible. My King James Bible is all that I need. We don't want an updated morality. Transgender is demonic. Cross-dressing is demonic. A child of God has no need for psychiatry. My Bible says, in the shadow of the tree, I delight myself in the Lord. I don't want anything new. I don't want the new paths. In Jeremiah 6:16, thus stand, saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. God says, you know what our question is supposed to be? We're not supposed to be looking for the new way, updated way, what's better for the 21st century. We're supposed to be asking ourselves a question, what does God approve of? Homosexuality will always be wrong. It has always been wrong, and there will never be a time that God approves of it. I don't want an updated Bible. I want the old paths. And God says it is there, in the old paths, in the Word of God, that I find rest for my soul. I found His tree, and in His shadow I sat down. His fruit was sweet to my taste. The Bible, it satisfied me. His presence satisfies me. I find out all that God has done for me started, amen, with the tree. There's a rest in Christ. This is not talking about a lazy Christian. It's not talking about an idle Christian that's purposeless. It's talking about one who is content that He is my all in all. And I rest under the shadow of the tree. I can kneel in reverence before my God. And I can also, as a Christian, as a child of God, I can sit in delight. I'm in His presence. I can enjoy Him. I can kneel in reverence, lay prostrate before Him in love, and I can sit in delight under His shadow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What shadow of the Almighty? Well, we've looked at the shadow of the rock. That's salvation. We've looked at the salvation of the tree. That's the delight of the Lord. That's the joy of the Lord. And I love this. Can you take your Bible and go to Psalm 63? Look at Psalm 63. This phrase is found so many times in the book of Psalms and throughout the Word of God in the book of Isaiah. It's so comforting, just the picture that God gives us as His child. Watch this. Psalm 63, verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I was reading this morning in Psalms, and I had already chosen this for the text for this point, but it is so many times, all in the shadow of thy wings will I trust. I will find refuge in the shadow of thy wings till this calamity be overpassed. What? The shadow of His wings. You say, if you picture God as the eagle or even as a chicken that takes her hens and puts them as a shadow around. Have you ever seen a chicken do that? I realize if you're not raised on a farm, you probably haven't. And you probably look up something different on YouTube. But anyways, if you've never seen it, it's beautiful. To gather her chickens, she'll spread, she drops her wings, and she starts, and then she gathers them. Well, okay, everybody go over to Brother Gaskin's house this afternoon. He's got, no, I'm just kidding. He's got chickens, you can see it. But it's beautiful, isn't it? Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee under my wings as a chicken," he said, "and you would not, therefore your judgments come." God is likened to someone who takes us under his wings. And then you know what you do with the wings? Once your wings are spread, look what's exposed. The chest. And he's doing what? He's pulling us close to his heart. "In the shadow of thy wings will I trust, safe from the heat, safe from the pressures of the world. In the shadow of his wings, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." What shadow? The shadow of his wrath, the shadow of the tree, the shadow of his wings. The shadow of his wings. What a tender picture. We need to press close to the Lord Jesus. He's always willing. He always has his arms opened up. He always has his wings spread. Now, sometimes we flee to different things. We flee to friends. We flee to TV. We flee to alcohol. We flee to drugs. Shame on us. His arms are always open. And under the shadow of his wings, will I trust? Will I trust? "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." What shadow? The shadow of the rock. The shadow of the tree. The shadow of his wings. And can I show you one more? Can you take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 49? Watch this. Isaiah chapter 49. How come you got it made in the shade, Christian? Because of his presence. How come God's got you covered? How come you don't have anything to worry about? How come God can take care of it if you're enjoying his presence? Oh, I'm always in the presence of God. No, you're not. You're in God's presence when you choose to be. And do you know for a Christian, every place is holy. Well, when I'm in church, I act different. You don't enjoy God's presence. Your house ought to be holy. Amen. Your job ought to be holy. Amen. You can do it with God every day. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." I don't visit it. I'm not just there on Sunday and there on Wednesday as a church building. It's not that. I live in his presence. And that's not, well, you're a pastor. You're a Christian if you're saved. You have access to the rack. You've got access to the tree. You've got access to his wings. And you've also got access to, are you ready? Watch this. Look at Isaiah chapter 49, verse 2. "And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword," watch this, "in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft." You can enjoy the shadow of the hand of God. We don't have time this. Okay, you're in chapter 49. Scoot over two chapters. Go to chapter 51. Watch this. Just go over two chapters. Isaiah 51, verse 15. Watch this. "But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee," and there it is again, "in the shadow of my hand." Look, this morning, we are only weapons in his hand to use, and without him, we can do nothing. He is our power. He's the reason we are ever used, because we place ourselves in his hand, in the shadow of his hand. Look, you say, and if that doesn't impress you, his hand is so big and we are so small. Yet he still is able to use us and sends us forth as his arrows. If you're his child, if you've been saved. It's not our desire to be noticed or seen in any way. We just want to be used, and we want the Lord to be glorified. In his hand is his acceptance and safety. In his hand is the place of power and service. And just in case that doesn't impress you, his hand is so big it says his hand spans the heavens. That's from the tip of the pinky to the thumb. That's normally 9 inches on a man's hand. God says his hand spans the heavens. Do you realize to get from one edge of just our galaxy, from one edge of our galaxy to the other would take you traveling at the speed of light, 6 trillion miles in 1 year, would take you 100,000 years traveling at the speed of light to get to the other edge. That's just a galaxy. Inside the galaxies are star clusters. They still don't know how big the universe, and yet my God holds the heavens in the span of His hand. I serve a big God. And I didn't make that up. I started looking at it, and the more stats you start doing about the universe, and my goodness, do you realize traveling at the speed of light, just in case that isn't quick to you, if you could fire a bullet and gravity didn't affect it, traveling at the speed of light, a bullet would circle the earth if I fired it, and we'd have to clear the way so I was the only one the bullet was going through. But if you shot it, traveling at the speed of light, a bullet would pass through me 7 times in 1 second. If gravity didn't affect it. That's how fast light is. 186,000 miles a second. A second. Yet God says He holds the heavens in the span of His hand. And God says, in His shadow of His hand, I'm safe. I'm safe. He protects me. It reminds me of His security. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You realize, in His hand, I become in awe because it's an Almighty hand. I'm excited that I'm there to be used in His hand. I know my weakness in His hand is made strong. I read in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Is that all the time? That's not for the backslidden Christian. That's for the Christian that is enjoying the presence of God. When I'm walking with Him and loving Him and giving Him my heart, at that time, that's when my weakness is made strong. Not just all the time. I need Him. I need Him, and I need Him to be a good dad. I need Him to be a good husband. I need Him to be a good preacher. I need Him to be a good friend. I need Him. And in my weakness, when I can't, is when He's strong. In the shadow of the Almighty. You say, what shadow? I found the shadow of the rock. I found the shadow of the tree. I found the shadow of His wings. And I found the shadow of His hand. There is a shadow in God's Word that is not His that you must be protected from. It's called the shadow of death. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Can I tell you something this morning? He's not your shepherd until He's your Savior. He's not everybody's shepherd. And the shepherd cannot keep you safe from hell until you accept Him as your Savior. You say, oh, and everybody loves Psalm 23. Oh, that's my favorite psalm. And I'm glad it is. But He's not your shepherd until you go to Psalm 22, where they pierced His hands and feet, where they broke the joints in His body, where He's dehydrated, hanging on the cross, naked in shame for our sin. You go to Psalm 22 first, and you accept Him as your Savior, then He'll be your shepherd, and He can keep you safe from what? From the shadow of death, which is hell. Which is hell. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Him as your Savior? If you died right now, do you have the peace of God that if you died, you'd go to heaven? If not, this morning, He wants to be your shepherd, but He wants to save you first. He wants to save you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty, of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. Please. I'm glad we can smile. But Lord, we do have it made in the shade with You as our Father. And we have so much accessible to us. Your presence is our protection. I just need to ask this morning with head bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor, I don't know if I died if I'd go to heaven. I'd like to. But I'm not saved. I don't have the peace of God in my heart. Is there anybody here like that? Nobody's looking around. We're not here to embarrass you. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not saved. Is there anybody like that? And Christian, if you're stressed this morning and maxed out, you're not enjoying His presence. You have a shadow that's available to you. The shadow of the rock. The shadow of the Almighty. He's available to you. You can trust Him. His wings, the tree, and His hand. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. The altar's open. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.